Most people thought I was mad before all this. When I was looking into being baptised, God said I had the opportunity to give my testimony, that I would be asked to talk for 2 minutes about my life and how Jesus has come into it and affected it. We negotiated and ended up at about 10 minutes. Anyone who knows me and my family know that we like to talk publicly, and we'll probably go on a bit. So I'll try and keep this as brief as possible. But I have a story, and being 40, it's quite a long story, and quite a lot in it. Again, talking with Scott about the testimony and the story, he suggested I follow a coming to Christ, and a now kind of line to my story. So where to start, and what to focus on with before? There's just so much, really, from a great childhood that was turned upside down by my loving mum getting cancer and losing a 10 to 12 year battle. Not sure how long, but with that. To an adolescence of anger and no control, struggling to deal with life and the circumstances I'd wish on nobody, but shared with some. Forever being in trouble, both inside and outside of school, either just dodging the law or coming home at some ungodly hour. Maybe I should talk about the drugs and parties, the thefts and lies, the nights and days of unchecked lust and meaningless sex of my 20s, and the time, or maybe the time I ran away after my mum died and didn't speak to anyone I knew or loved for 5 years. Just vanished, as I couldn't take it, whatever it was, anymore. Maybe I'd talk about the anger of an adult life, the deep-centred self-loathing, the pain, the living on the edge between survival and a pit of despair, the self-medication of my 20s and to a degree my 30s, the years of alcohol and drug abuse, the blowing out to over 22 stone, the hatred I felt for myself as I continued to survive my way through things. Maybe I should talk about the rage that I would come under, the violence that could cause. Maybe it should be about the time I tried to check into a mental hospital, only to be told I was a pessimist and to go away. There is such a long and complex story. Maybe I should talk about the company I kept as a landlord, some of the situations I got into, the fights, the close-run things as an adult with the wrong side of the line. Maybe I should talk about my personal relationships and how over the years, to the people I love the most, I have continually rejected and refused them. How I made conscious choices at times to disregard the people I love the most, doing the worst of things to them. I think I can honestly say that if we put up a list of the Ten Commandments, I would have failed in about 9.5 of them. That's probably hoping. Well, I thought about all of that, and I decided I didn't really want to go into the detail of any of that. You see, before, I lived by a mantra, given to me by a sales tape of all things when I was in my early 20s. I grasped that mantra because it was simple. If it's to be, it's up to me. I know that that's complete rubbish now, but it fitted me. It gave me a deluded purpose. Self. You see, I was one of life's survivors. I was one of those people that people saw as always falling on his feet. To the world, I was successful. In my professional life, I was an achiever. Outwardly, in my private life, I had and have a beautiful wife and absolutely gorgeous children. We have a nice house. I drove nice enough cars. I had most of the eye gadgets you can think of in life. I had it all and more. If the world offered it, I probably took it. Not a millionaire by any means, but always had the facility through whatever means necessary to get just about anything I wanted. It didn't matter how. Lie, cheat, steal, didn't matter. Yep, got it all. I could have anything, really, if I wanted it. Then why was I so alone? 40 and alone. What I wanted to talk about with the before was that. Life alone. The life just empty. Life knowing that there should have been more. The fact that life was about surviving. The survival of the fittest. A life full of worries and anxieties. The selfishness and the shame that goes with being so selfish. The fact that I had developed into such a survivor, I had locked away the best parts and all but lost the things that really matter. Burdened by fears and by guilt of so many, many bad things that I had done. You see, I was the guy that would not just step on your toes to get something. I would use you and abuse you and everyone around you on the way there. I was the guy that just didn't love anything, not even himself. I was a taker. I took stuff. I took people's spirits. I took their joy. This nearly crippled me. I understand why now, and I'm free. Anyway, it all came to a head last year. I was effectively screwed. My house of cards came tumbling down. I finally, after one sin too many, came to an end. Living away from my family, I was told my marriage was over and that I had made my sty go and live in it like the pig I was. And trust me, that's probably the tame version. But there I was. But there was one line in this period that held. And I think Sue thought she was pretty safe when she threw it. But if you want any hope of a future with me or anyone else, your only chance is to become a good Christian man. Wow, no chance then. Good wasn't something I had or anyone else would really put on my tombstone. And the Christian bit, not likely. And maybe I was a man, but I was probably more of a pig at the time. So all quite slim hopes. I didn't really know where to start. My little back book was hardly full of good Christian men. A few villains and pretty petty criminals, yes, but Christians, not so many. But it was my slim and fading hope. So grab it and run, Anthony. I'd met this guy from RBC when I was the manager at the Traveller's Joy. A good guy. He had inexplicably... Don't want that to happen. He had inexplicably decided 6 years ago to help me paint my house. I hardly knew him, but he, along with another couple of my friends, helped. But he was the only chap I could think of that might be able to help me now. So I gave him a call and we met up for a beer. Explaining my circumstances, he, for some reason, agreed to help me. It took a while for me to understand why, but I could never pay him and his family back enough. Not that it works like that. Anyway, he suggested going to Alpha. Ooh, poo. I'd done that before, about 12 years ago, when I first met Sue. I was so contrary. I apologise for that, Paul. I think I only lasted a week, maybe two. I can't really... Two. But hey, I know I'm forgiven, so that's all right. Anyway, he suggested Alpha and agreed to come as my sponsor or minder, one of the two. So I agreed and we went joining a couple weeks into the course as it had already started. Please, if you have any questions about God, Jesus, or feel something is missing, that there has to be more to life than surviving it, this is the best thing I ever did. It literally changed my life. Without going into a sales pitch too heavily, there's another Alpha in RBC in September and I suggest you book up. It's great. They give you free food. And love, more importantly. Anyway, back to the story. Anyway, we went to Alpha, and I'm not sure what I thought, but typically me, I was looking at the angles. In fact, week one of my Alpha, and I asked, okay, this all sounds great. How can I fake it? By the way, you can't. And what's even better is that you just don't have to. Just open your heart to Jesus and let him do the rest. Anyway, whilst we were there, we watched a video with Nicky Gumbel, who's the pastor guy that invented the Alpha course. And he talked about this Jesus fellow and how he died to take our sin. He did this thing with his hands, something like that, about Jesus taking our sin so we could have a conversation with God about what we'd done in our lives without guilt or shame or judgment. I drove back to the caravan park I was working on that night in total dismay, but something clicked. I understood. So I started talking to God. Actually, to start with, it was more ranting and raging at him a bit to get things off my chest that annoyed me for not just a little while, but for decades. Week one had been an impact at Alpha, as did just about every week after that. Letting Jesus into my heart and into my life is without exception the best thing I have ever done. I have had some strange happenings, from laying in the bed at my sister's house, holding a Bible and praying some of the things that messed me up out of my life and feeling my spirit ignite inside me, to waking up in the middle of the night, my heart exploding after a prayer of having my heart softening, literally feeling like it's going to blow out of my chest. Amazing stuff. Unbelievable without God involved. During a particularly bad time, I was reading 1 Peter I ate the New Testament. I absolutely loved it. I read the Code Bible, which is great for us non-academic men because it's in real English. Anyway, I was reading 1 Peter, and right there, God's words were talking to me. I'd read 1 Peter in about an hour, maybe, but it could have been one sentence. You're suffering now, but have faith in God, and he will bring joy. Joy and love are such huge words, but I can tell you now, I have tried to falsely fill both with different drugs over the years. Alcohol, ecstasy, cocaine, you name it, I've probably tried it. The reality is, the love of Jesus is a physical manifestation in my heart. The Holy Spirit burns inside me and gives me a feeling that no chemical will ever, ever match. The joy of the Holy Spirit brings me at times, the knowing that I'm loved by God is amazing. I said earlier that I'm free, and that I am. Free in the joy and grace of God. I've surrendered my life to God's plan, which is interesting because you never know what's going to happen next. But it's great. Jesus died to take away my sin. Well, the bag of sin I left at the base of the cross was heavy, and now I'm free of it. I will try my hardest every day not to pick it up or add more to it. That's what repenting is all about to me. Jesus took my sin for me and died for that. He loves me, and I know that. It's a physical feeling. I don't want to add any more sin. So how in the last 10 months has my life changed? Well, I'm home, which in itself is a miracle. And God is changing my life. Part of which is that I got a new job. I got a job I didn't apply for. As part of this, I decided to change my lifestyle. So I applied for jobs outside of my old career structure. And I accidentally pressed an apply button to a carpet company. That sent a CV that was 5 years out of date. And amazingly, somehow, I was invited to an interview. I went to the first interview and prayed, as you do, or as I do now, beforehand. And the interview, in my mind, was absolutely terrible. It was an hour's argument. It wasn't an interview. It was like, oh, my God, I walked out. Oh, no. Before I got home, I got a phone call inviting me to Leeds the next week, which was most bizarre. But I decided that I must be the third person in the interview, the stooge, the one that's just been invited to make the numbers up. But I prayed all the way up there, and the interview went well enough, but I wasn't convinced I'd get the job. On the way home, though, and I've never seen this before and never seen it after, there was, on the side of the road, a lorry billboard. You know the ones, the advertising billboards in a field somewhere? Anyway, this one said, Jesus Christ came to the world to save sinners. It was just outside Leeds. Anyway, I was offered the job before I got back from Leeds. I'm now at home and have a wife I love very, very much. My attitude to life and what gives me joy has changed 180 degrees. I have learned that life isn't about taking and using. That doesn't actually bring any joy at all. What brings me joy is giving. Giving time is the best. I met some great people volunteering at a homeless centre at Westcliff Free Church over the winter. They really, truly helped me, and I was a fish out of water, but they brought me into their hearts and helped me grow. Random acts of kindness are great as well. It means so much to just help people, to do the right thing. It brings such joy to put others before me. I'm trying to be a better person, and some days I still get it wrong. Normally, when I forget to surrender to God, or I pick up my bag from the base of the cross, because, hey, Jesus isn't qualified some days to deal with my issues, I would much rather wallow in them myself. Obviously, that's not true. Those days are the pit. But I'm learning. I have some great mentors. They know who they are, and I love them. The important part for me is I now have love, and the capacity for it. I have joy in my life with my wife and children. I am trying to have a simple life that just is. For a Christian, I am just beginning. I have no idea where God will take me, and all I can say is that I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for everything that means every day, all day, with every breath. Because with him, I know I'm loved, I am forgiven, and I am free. Thank you.
That was fantastic. And we're just going to... Caroline, are you going to read for us? No? Great. I'm going to read. That's fantastic. Sorry? Marion's going to read for us. Great. Marion. Looking wonderful this evening, Marion. Marion's going to come and read us for us. So I'll help you. All right. Marion's going to read for us from Colossians chapter 3. Thank you, Marion. You're wonderful. Mwah.
Yes, it's from Colossians chapter 3, and I'm starting at verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you that has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
I noticed you stopped there when it says submit to husbands and wives. Did you notice that? Did you all see that? Whew, I'm so glad. No, I'm only joking. So we're going to look at Colossians chapter 3, and we're not going to, we can't go verse by verse for that whole, we could, but we shan't, because it's my day off on Mondays, so I want to get there. So we're going to just go through a couple of things, but just during the week, I thought I was doing well this week, and I just come back from holiday, Barcelona, Wales. I think I actually probably preferred Wales, actually. It's very pretty. But Barcelona to Wales, and I got back in the office, and when I hear Anthony's story, I think of a guy in the Bible called Saul, who just was just a crazy man, who was just one of those people who just wanted to just have a go at the Christians, beat them up, sort them out. And then suddenly God just met him on a road and just sorted him out. And then he became this guy called Paul, and the Lord used this guy called Paul in a lot of the New Testament writings about the letters to use a man of faith to tell the church what to do today. And so I wrote the sermon, and I finished it, and I put it down. I thought, job done, by Friday morning. And then I speak to my secretary and I said, I'm all done. And she said, what are you doing on Sunday evening? I said, Acts chapter 9. It's all done. And she said, oh, she says. That's what she says. Oh, she says. She says, oh, she says. A little problem. I said, what's the problem? It's done. And she said, well, we're starting a series in Acts on September the 13th. You're leading it. I went, oh, yeah, I know that. Get to the point. I didn't say that because I value my life. And then she said, well, you are preaching on Acts chapter 9 in November. And she said, would it be good to preach it tonight and in November? And so now I'm preaching from Colossians chapter 3. And I didn't sleep on Saturday. But anyway, when I get to November, it's all ready. So that week, nobody bother me, because I'll have a nice week, because it's all ready. But that's an amazing story, and if you want to come back in November, you can hear that story. And if you don't want to come back, don't, but it's a good story. It was a good sermon. It was a good sermon that I did, and well, it was all right, I thought. You'd have to tell me in November. So then I thought, well, what can I say? And I thought about Colossians chapter 3 speaks about amazing things. And what we've heard today is, you haven't heard it from me. You know, you go to church sometimes and you say, well, the preacher has to say it. The preacher has to say that God is the God of love. And the preacher has to say that God loves us and cares for us, because that's what he's taught to do. He went to Bible college and he's got to do that. If he doesn't do that, he won't get a job. And actually, I didn't say it. You heard it from Anthony, one of my elders, who will remain unnamed, but he didn't come in the water, so work it out. He said, you won't need to talk at all tonight, Scott. Well, he was hoping for a miracle. And us, we believe in miracles, but not tonight. So what does Colossians 3 have to say? I just want to just look at a couple of points, really. It says there just at the start, since you have been raised with Christ, set your heart above all where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You see, Anthony has already told us about a life that he lived, but a life that had no ultimate fulfillment, a life that really, quite honestly, messed his life up. I was, as I said at the start of the service, I was with a man tonight who knows where his life is and knows where his life is going. And we heard just a few moments ago from Anthony in such a helpful way that actually he had a life until Jesus connected with him, and now he has a new life. And it says there that since you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above. You see, the opportunity that everybody has, no matter what color, race or creed that they are, God offers an invitation to every single man, woman, boy and girl from every single nation around the world. God offers to all of us an opportunity to be raised with Christ, to have a living relationship with Jesus. For those of you who are visiting, none of my family are Christians yet. My wife and children are, but my extended family aren't. None of them yet. But they have got an opportunity, if they choose to understand it one day, that they too can be raised with Christ. They too can have a living relationship with the Saviour. And in a few moments ago, we're going to sing a song called Amazing Grace, a wonderful song that says, you know, we cannot do anything but yet receive the grace of God. Because the grace of God forgives us our sins and takes them away and gives us a new life. John chapter 3 verse 16 says that Jesus sent his only son to die on a cross to give us life and life in all its fullness. Did we deserve it? Absolutely not. Did he give it to us as a free good gift? Absolutely, yes he did. And here it says that we all have the opportunity to be raised with Christ. We all have an opportunity to say that the old has gone and the new has come. And this passage talks about getting rid of the old things and putting on the new things. It says in verse 3, for you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is yours, life appeared, and you will appear then with him in glory. You see, it says there, for you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You see, when we accept to have a living relationship with God, he doesn't then say, well, do you remember? He actually says, you're forgiven. When you have a heart that's repentant, like Anthony has had, to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I surrender all to you. Jesus wants to give us a new life in him. Now I know, and Anthony knows, and everybody who knows Anthony knows, that he's not a perfect guy. Is he, Martin? We know he's not, don't we, mate? He's not, is he? And nor are we. But he's seeking to love the Lord. And what the Lord wants, Sue's just nodding. Yeah, yeah. You got that right, preacher? Preach it, brother. That's what she just said. I saw that. But actually, we know that he hasn't got it right. But Jesus, you see, that's not the sort of God that I worship. I worship a God that says, once you've given your life to me, I'm going to help you on a daily basis to be the person you want to be. The world always condemns. The world always rejects. The world is always not satisfied. But when our heart is right before God, we have a God, it says here in Colossians 3, that says, when you've died and your life is now hidden with Christ, I will be with you. And it says there, put in verse 5, put to death. And I won't read all these things because, you know, time is time. In this church, they want to be out, you know, cheese on toast at 8:30. So we'll be there, don't worry. Put to death, therefore, all these things. And lust, evil desires. Anthony, we've covered them all, fella. You've done about most. But it says, put all these things to death. You see, if you look at all those things, what it is saying is this. Jesus wants to forgive you all those things. Ask me why? It's because he came to love us. Why? Because that's his character. Why? Because that's his grace. But it says there, put to death all these things. Because all of those things that it describes there, they're no good for us. And in the book of Psalms, it talks about that when Jesus knew us before we were born, he formed us together in our mother's wombs. You would have thought, once if Jesus knew me before I was born, you would have thought he would have kept me in, eh? But he obviously thought there was an opportunity for me in the world, so he let me be born. I was born second. My mum went to the ward after delivering my brother. 7 minutes later, she screamed and shouted and said to the doctor, 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 I've got pain. The doctor said, be quiet. You're fine. The baby's here. And then about 10 minutes later, 7 minutes later to be precise, the doctor said, doctor, she said to the doctor, doctor, doctor. And then, she's regretted it ever since, I think. But I'm still Squidge. That's what she calls me, Squidge. Do you like Squidge? I'm still Squidge. She still calls me it now when I'm 40. That's all right, isn't it? That's all right. But none of you call me that, please. Because I'm the senior minister. You can call me pastor. But you know, God knew us before we were even born. And for some of us, we choose to be born. We choose to live a life. But we choose to live our own way. But if God knew us before we were born, then surely he had a plan for our life here on earth. I didn't come to faith till later on in my life. But Jesus knew me before I was born. And it wasn't until I gave my life to Jesus that I've realized that he has a plan for my life now. You see, here it says, all these things, put them to death. Get rid of them. Put them aside, because malice and slander, filthy language on your lips, do not lie to each other. All these things are not good. And I don't think there'll be anybody who's not even a Christian who would look at all those things and say, well, they're all fine. Because they're not good things. They're just not generally good things. And God says, put them all to death, and I have got a new opportunity for you. And I don't know how fulfilled you feel this evening. I don't know how happy you are with your life. But one thing I can tell you, that since I gave my life to Jesus, and Anthony has already told us himself from this very stage, that since he gave his life to Jesus, Jesus has helped him, changed him, and made him into the person that he is today. So put to death all these things, Jesus says. Why? Because they're no good for you. But then he says in verse 12, therefore, because you have become God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and gentleness and patience. You might say, well, carry on, Lord. That's quite a lot. Well, it is. But you see, God wants us to be different. Because if God formed us in our mother's womb, God has a plan for our lives. And then in verse 15, it says, let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. How very fitting on this day, before I had the privilege to come and baptize Anthony, I had the privilege to sit with somebody. Because they know Jesus, they have utter peace in their heart tonight. Because they know where they're going. And it's the pavements are paved with gold. And there's no pain. And there's no suffering. And it's a place that this person will be with for eternity. Forever. And they have a complete and utter peace about it. And I guess the invitation that I just want to draw your attention to tonight is this. That Anthony and what God has offered to him, to die to his old self, to be raised with Christ, for the old to be put aside, forgiven, forgot about forever. I often pray, Lord, allow us to have the attitude that Jesus had and forget everything. Because we're not very good at that as human beings. We remember. And often we remember our own sin and it stops us from doing what God wants us to do. But even worse, we point the finger at somebody else's sin rather than have a look at what we've done ourselves. But you see, Anthony has received the forgiveness of sin by Jesus. You would have thought the Lord might have said, Anthony, when are you going to get on with it, mate? You're 40. I created you in your mother's womb. It took 40 years to listen. It took a while, didn't it? But it's all right. You got there before the end, so that's okay. But you see, the invitation is to all of us. How many of you here tonight maybe come to this church for the first time and you're hoping I'd stop so that you can get out? You can get out soon. It's okay. But how happy are you? How contented are you with the life that you have? Jesus says to all of us, in every nation, in every country, in every language, if we will open our eyes and open our ears to hear him, he will meet with us. Anthony just said a few moments ago about an Alpha course that we're doing at this church on the 24th of September. There's loads of flyers here. If you'd love to come to find out, man, what on earth is life all about? Who am I? What's it all about? How does it work? How much does it cost to be a Christian? All those questions. I want to encourage you to take one of these and just fit it in and come along. The downside is I'm going to be speaking at it. But don't worry, there'll be some other people as well. So you'll be okay. Because that says what life, that will be an opportunity to find out what life's all about. You see, because Jesus is waiting to hear people say, Lord, tell me more. The nature of Jesus, who is a person full of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and love, that's his nature. So he doesn't want to intrude in our lives, Jesus. But when we say, Jesus, I want to know more, let me tell you, he's ready to give us the answers. And there may be some of you this evening that you might want to say to Jesus, Jesus, my life is full of discontent. I don't know why I'm here for. I don't know what it's all about. I want to find out about a God of kindness, compassion and holiness. A God who tells me to bear with other people when I don't want to. A God who forgives me for the things that I've done. A God who wants to place peace to rule in my heart forever. And ultimately, the God who wants to give me life and life in all its fullness in eternity. Colossians 3 often is preached to a church family to say we've got to behave better. But I want to say it could be spoken to anybody. And I want to speak it into your life tonight and say simply this. The invitation from Jesus is there. If your life was in the balance tonight, would you know the security of where your home is? Or would you be frightened, literally, to death because you know not where you are going? Jesus offers to forgive us, change us. Jesus offers to make us different. Amen? I'm working on it. Jesus offers to make us different. But more than that, Jesus offers a life in his presence here on earth and eternally. I want to suggest to you tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, I want to encourage you to find out more, because if you reach that hand out, let me guarantee you he's going to take hold of you and he's going to give you the answers that you want. Well, the God that I love does. And to me it sounds a bit foolish in my simple mind. If God yet created me and had plans for me, why would I not seek them out? You might say, well, that's a load of nonsense, what the Bible says. Well, let me tell you one thing, and Anthony has already told you himself, that when we give our lives to Jesus, he can change us. And I think back to when I've given my life to Jesus, the things that he's done in my life since then are far greater than the crazy things I did in my life before I knew him. My heart is full of contentment. My heart is full of happiness. My heart is full of joy. My heart is full of hope. But also, my heart is at peace. Let the peace of Christ rule within you. My heart is at peace because I know where I'm going. And I know, because I've given my life to Jesus, I know that the Word of God tells me that one day he will say to me, come and live with me for eternity. If you've been a Christian for a long time, like many of you have, how easy and how quickly can we forget about what God has done? How easy do we allow the devil to deceive us of all those wrong things that stop us from doing what God wants us to do? And as I said this morning to those of you who are here, we will not allow the devil to deceive us. And we will not allow the devil to take those things away from us. Because God has forgiven us. And God gives us a new life in him. So what do you want to be clothed in? I've got my jeans on. Did you notice? I hope that's okay with some of you. I've had a busy day. But what do you want to be clothed in? And where do you want to go? And I pray that if you want to be clothed in good things and you want to go to glory, I want to encourage you to find out more at the Alpha course. And if you've been Christian for a long, long time, I want to ask you a simple question. What are you clothed in tonight? Are you clothed in malice, bitterness, hatred? If you are, God simply says, would you just please reclothe yourself and put on the things of God? Because when you put on the things of God, I will use you to bring about your kingdom. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for what we've heard from Anthony. Thank you that we've heard, not from the preacher, but from Anthony himself, a life that has been changed and transformed. Thank you, Father God, that even though we didn't deserve it, your amazing grace was lavished upon us to forgive our sins, to forgive the things that we've done that have stopped us from knowing you, and that you love us so much, you want to give us a life of knowing you here on earth, but also in eternity, filled with love and compassion and purpose, because we believe you made us, you formed us, and you have purpose for us. For anybody here tonight that is walking a life in the wilderness, a life of darkness and discontent, a life where the world doesn't fill the desires of their hearts, I pray tonight that you would encourage them to take away an Alpha leaflet and to find out more. Because Jesus wants every single boy and girl, man and woman, to know him. He wants us all to be in heaven with him. He wants nobody to be excluded. So Lord, I pray that you'd do that this evening. And for those of us who have known you for many, many years, but the circumstances of life, the situations that we have faced, have caused us to put on the wrong clothes, I simply pray by the power of your Spirit that you'll convict our hearts to take them off and to put on the things that God has for us, the things that reflect Jesus, so that we can reflect Jesus to a world who search him. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Let's